This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The Massachusetts State Senate is living out the pandemic this week. Its members are considering the Commonwealth's $46 billion budget. Now, they postponed deliberations from the spring due to financial uncertainty in those early days from the coronavirus pandemic. But now they're also considering the budget remotely and very carefully after budget deliberations in the Massachusetts State House last week led to a coronavirus outbreak. So here with the latest on what the State Senate is taking up this week and how, given the spate of coronavirus cases, is WBUR Senior State House reporter Steve Brown. Steve, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Tiziana.
All right, so let's start with these infections at the State House. How many people are involved? How do we know about, you know, what do we know about how it spread?
Yeah, we're told that there were three House members and three legislative employees after last week who tested positive for the for COVID. One senator who hasn't been in the building since early October also tested positive. As you said, they're encouraging as many senators to participate remotely. Some are in the chamber. Many are at home taking part in the deliberations or the debate from home. It just seems, as, you know, you ask how did it spread? It seems that whenever people get together, it increases the spread. Remember, the last time the legislature got together was at the end of July when they were dealing with all those bills, the police reform bill and economic development bill. In July, the infection rate was a lot lower in Massachusetts. Now we're seeing it tick up all over the place. So it only makes sense that it would happen at the State House as well.
So to that point, Steve, and you gave me permission to tell listeners this, you're talking to us from home because, as I understand it, you had contact with an individual who had business at the State House last week, and then that person tested positive. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. The person is asymptomatic, remains asymptomatic.
Good.
He called me on Thursday night to inform me that he had tested positive. I, at that point, immediately scheduled a test, couldn't get in on Friday, went in on Saturday. And the unfortunate thing about sometimes testing is you take the test and then you wait a few days. Again, I had it on Saturday. I'm waiting for the results. Hopefully it'll come today. If not, maybe tomorrow. I just made a conscious decision at that point until I get an all clear from that test that I'm going to isolate as much as I can.
Well, we're going to continue to hope that your health is intact and that you continue to feel fine. You know, so many of us are familiar now, Steve, with the sort of the log jams and the obstacles when you are working from home. But this is legislation, and we're talking about hundreds of amendments, a timeline that the State Senate wants to be working on. How big of a deal is it to have so much of the work having to happen remotely this week?
I think they're managing pretty well. I mean, we've all learned, you know, how to work with the Zoom. Zoom meetings now are quite common. It's a little more elaborate than Zoom for the legislature. The members are all watching on a video conference in real time. There's no lag. They also have a separate channel if they want to participate in the debate. They will inform the Senate staff, hey, I want to weigh in on this. And then they will call the presiding officer, often as the Senate president, sometimes a senior senator, will then call on the senators, you know, as they request to participate. And the debate kind of goes on. As you watch it for a while, after a while, you forget that everybody is scattered all over the state.
Mm. Okay, WBUR Steve Brown, I'm going to ask you to stand by for a couple of minutes, listen to another conversation, because we wanted to speak with someone from the State Senate today, and State Senator Julian Sear stepped off the floor for us about 2 hours ago. Sear represents the Cape and the Islands, is Assistant Majority Whip. I asked him if he was frustrated with where they find themselves this week.
I actually feel that we're actually in a pretty good position. Continuing the work of legislating, what we're doing this week is we're taking up the FY21 budget, which traditionally we'd do in the spring. We put that off because we were really uncertain about what the revenues would look like. We were uncertain about federal support. And it turns out that decision, there's a lot of wisdom in that decision. So in the spring, we were expecting that there'd be up to a $6 billion revenue shortfall. for this current fiscal year that we're in now. It now looks like that's closer to $3.6 billion. We do have clarity on federal assistance. At least the federal assistance isn't happening yet. And so the decision to really wait till we have more information is allowing us to put forward a budget, which quite remarkably, in arguably one of the toughest fiscal environments you could be in, we're level funding most all accounts, and we're actually able to expand resources in housing and food insecurity, resources for early education, mental health. So actually, I feel pretty good about what we're legislating. And how we're doing it is actually quite consistent with how we've been legislating throughout the pandemic. So when the Senate took up police reform, took up an economic development bill, we used many of the same techniques where we have remote participation for most members. What's different is that we are just being as absolutely careful and strict as possible as it relates to COVID-19. So we
so
are
something must have broken down last week, though. I mean, because as you say, there have been other legislative actions taken, other deliberations, but now we have this outbreak. So what could or should have been done differently in the last week to avoid this?
So I can't speak to how the House was conducting their remote business because I haven't been through that. What I can speak to is what the Senate's doing, where we are just reducing to the absolute minimum level the number of people that we need in a session to carry out a session. And certainly, you know, that's the presiding officer, that's the chair of Ways and Means, that's a minority leader. But also it's looking out for the staff who make the Senate run, our
how do
clerk.
You do that?
And his, so how we've done that, so there's about 22 or 24 individuals who will be in the chamber, who are needed in the chamber to do this work throughout the course of the budget. And what we've done is this morning, all of those folks got tested, had a rapid COVID test. I was one of those individuals. And we also were asked to sign an attestation that we have not been in contact with someone who is positive for COVID-19, and we don't have any symptoms of COVID-19.
Can you get through 473 amendments in the time frame that you want working remotely? As you noted, not your first rodeo working this way. So can you get that many amendments worked through?
Yes. So we expect we should be able to work through these amendments within 2 or 3 days. Typically, actually, we have double, if not more, amendments. The last budget we did, we had over 1,000 amendments. So although 473 sounds hefty, it's actually quite manageable for us.
There are a lot of eyes watching a particular amendment, State Senator Harriet Chandler's amendment on abortion. It's similar to one passed in the House. Are you seeing widespread support for that likely to be included in the final bill, do you think?
So I think I would say that there's been widespread support for the underlying bill in the Senate, and I you know, we'll see where that lands when those amendments are taken up. But many senators, me included, are supportive of that underlying bill. We saw the House take action last week, so all will be revealed when we take up that amendment in the coming hours or days.
So I do want to ask you, when do you think you'll finalize police reform? You mentioned it earlier.
So the conference committees are working apace, and hopeful that we get this resolved before the end of the session, which is on the first Tuesday in January. But I'm optimistic that we'll get a solution, not only on police reform, but on other. We have 6 conference committees that have really important work that we're working to get done.
So last question then, are you expecting that the governor's going to sign the budget once it gets to his desk?
He may take some of his own prerogatives with certain components of it, but I do expect it to be signed. Once the Senate passes the budget, then we will go to a conference committee. Hopefully we'll be able to resolve the 2 versions between the House and the Senate and get it to the governor's desk as soon as we can.
That was State Senator Julian Sear speaking with us a little earlier this afternoon. We still have with us WBUR Senior State House reporter Steve Brown. Steve, thanks for listening to that. What stood out to you from State Senator Sear?
Yeah, just like over in the House, Senator Sear and his colleagues in the Senate feel that waiting until now to do the budget was the right thing to do. You know, remember back April, May, when, you know, we thought the wheels were coming off the economy, and it hasn't been good. It's not an easy ride, but they've got a much better handle on what can be done. The deficit isn't as deep as they thought it might have been back then. They might have done something drastic if they had gone into the budget back in the regular time. So that waiting was good. And so both the House and the Senate are definitely in agreement on that.
And any big wins or pain points that you would highlight for the state Senate in coming to agreement with the House's proposed budget?
Yeah, you know, I think they have worked, the chairs of the respective Ways and Means Committees, along with A&F Secretary Mike Heffernan, who's basically Governor Baker's budget guy. They've been working all along through this. And, you know, usually what happens with a budget is the governor puts out a budget recommendation, then the House does their version, and then a month later the Senate does their version, and then they go into that conference committee and who knows what comes out of that. What they've done, they've kind of gone in the opposite direction. It sounds almost like they've had the conference committee beforehand. They've agreed on certain things before they even get into the budget debate. They'll probably go to a conference, but there's not going to be widespread differences between the two versions, and something will come out of it probably within a matter of a day or so.
You talked about all that coordination, including with the governor's office. I know you heard State Senator Sear say Governor Baker's probably going to exercise some of his prerogative with the budget when it arrives to him. Are there vetoes that you're expecting? I know when he said last week that he'd shoot down a proposed amendment that would make him replace any congressional vacancy with a member of the same party, the State House pulled back on that.
Yeah, I think they were going to pull back on that one way or the other. I didn't detect a lot of traction for that particular mm-hmm. amendment, regardless of what the governor had to say. But yeah, the governor, you know, he has the ability to reduce line items. So he may go through there and say, oh, instead of $500,000 for this, make it $400,000. That's how it works. And also keep in mind, usually what happens, it goes back to the legislature, which always has more than enough, the two-thirds vote, to override those vetoes. So I don't want to say the governor's veto pen is irrelevant, but the House and the Senate have the votes to override anything that the governor might do. Obviously, the thing that we're be interested in is if that amendment that you had mentioned, the abortion rights amendment, makes it through in the Senate, which I have a hunch that it will, just as it did in the House, and winds up in the final version. That might be something that the governor may take pause and not necessarily support. But again, they have the votes in both the House and the Senate to override a veto. So I would expect that will wind up becoming law.
Lots of speculation about various Massachusetts folks going to a Biden administration. That's what that one amendment we were just discussing was actually about. Are you hearing buzz about that in these conversations at the State House, or are they really just focused on this budget business at hand?
I think it's mostly the budget at the moment, as far as that amendment to change the way the governor appoints. That's kind of getting a little too far down the road.
Okay, just briefly, last question. Governor Baker announced today that he's nominating Boston Municipal Court Judge Serge Georges to the Supreme Judicial Court. Just the headline on who he is.
Yeah, he's a son of immigrants from Haiti. He's been on the Boston Municipal Court since 2013. He was appointed by Governor Baker's predecessor, Deval Patrick. Judge Georges is 50, means he could serve 20 years on the Supreme Judicial Court if he's confirmed by the Governor's Council.
And he likely will be, yes?
I would assume so, yes.
Okay. That is WBUR Senior State House Reporter Steve Brown. Steve, stay well, and thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks, Tiziana. You too.